It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
In their campaign to transform America, Democrats are becomingly increasingly totalitarian, suppressing dissent, defaming the innocent, eliminating due process, staging show trials, and trying to overthrow American democracy to impose their socialist agenda. Make no mistake, if the Democrats get back in, you will have a depression, the likes of which you've never seen before. And you are doing well. First it was the Russia hoax. Then it was Mueller. Remember Mueller with that hoax. The biggest lie ever foisted upon the American people, okay? But everybody stuck with us. If anything, we became more popular. Maybe more popular. I mean, last week, Hillary Clinton, Crooked Hillary, as we affectionately call her, so is there any place you would rather be than at a Trump rally on a beautiful, wonderful evening in Louisiana? But Democrats must be accountable for their hoaxes and for their crimes. Now, corrupt politicians, Nancy Pelosi and shifty Adam Schiff, and the crooked media have launched the deranged, delusional, destructive, and hyperpartisan impeachment witch hunt. Now we go again.
That was President Trump, at least a little bit of what he had to say in Monroe, Louisiana last night. He's stumping, of course, for the Republican candidate for governor. That election is November the 16th, so that's a week from this Saturday. So just want you to know why he was there. And I think that first phrase, the first sentence or the first minute or so of President Trump's statement is really something we should just keep and play over and over again. When he lays out what the now out-of-control Democratic Party has in mind for this country, they're not Democrats in the traditional sense. Many of you may have been Democrats. Many of you may still be. My parents are Democrats. They actually loved this country. They were not leftists/socialists/communists. Who wanted to undermine the Constitution and destroy free speech and our rights to arm ourselves and protect ourselves. They were not those people. But now the Democratic Party is. The president laid that out very clearly. And so one of the things he mentioned last night, which I really want to tell you about this morning, is I've spoken a lot about the whistleblower, haven't I? The alleged so-called whistleblower, probably leaker, probably part of this coup to destroy the president. And I'll make my case for you. Eric Chiaramella, who I've mentioned now, I've been mentioning, he is the whistleblower. And we are learning more now because he's being represented by an attorney who's, you know, been the face and the voice of Mr. Anonymous Whistleblower, allegedly anonymous to some people, according to the news, who won't mention his name. You know, nobody knows who he is, but we know who he is. People in Washington all know who he is. But his attorney's name is Mark Zaid. All right, so we're learning things about Mark Zaid that we didn't know before. And we're learning these because people have been investigating the whistleblower, Eric Chiaramella, and now they're investigating his attorney. And this is what they have found. Let me just say that back in 2017, January of 2017, and you may take us back in time, that's right when President Trump was inaugurated. That was when the first month, I'm not sure what the date here is, January 30th. So this is right after the inauguration. This is what the attorney for the whistleblower, Mark Zaid, had to say. The coup has started. As one falls, two more will take their place. At rebellion, at impeachment. He goes on. And he says in July of 2017, it's very scary. We will get rid of him. And this country is strong enough to survive even him and his supporters. We have to. Now, listen to this again. I've told you repeatedly that this is not just about President Trump. It isn't. And I thank you, Mark, for making that clear, because this is what he said. We will get rid of him, and this country is strong enough to survive even him and his supporters. So the left, the coup, the attempt to overthrow this duly elected president is about you and me as well. It's about people who love this country, love the Constitution, want to preserve it in any way that we can. That's what it's about. I'm going to go on. He says, by the way, that comment he made on the when he said the coup has started, as one falls, two more will take their place. At rebellion, at impeachment. Impeachment. This is January 30th of 2017. Mark Zaid, who is the attorney for the whistleblower, Eric Shiramella, is saying in January, right after the president has sworn his oath, impeachment, at impeachment. So he says that, by the way, as a result or in response to the president appointing Dana Buente as the acting attorney general. So Mark Zaid is saying after that announcement, this is a response to President Trump, the coup has started. Now, Sundance, who I often quote to you as an insider in the national security sphere, says that he says Zaid is specifically noting that Dana Buente is part of the effort. Dana Buente is currently FBI chief legal counsel, hired in the FBI in January of 2018. Buente is dirty. And so remember that we have an FBI that's been very unresponsive. They've dragged their feet on subpoenaing information. I just don't understand why that has not been cleaned out. I don't know why this current FBI director has not already been fired, but maybe this incredible investigation that's going on right now will uncover that and we'll clean that up. I hope so. That's what we're all praying for. By the way, just to underscore what Sundance is saying, Congressman Devin Nunes, in June of this year, threatened to send criminal referrals for FBI Director Christopher Wray and FBI Counsel Dana Buente. And this is what Devin says. These are all a bunch of dirty cops, and I'll tell you, some of them better go to jail, or we're going to go down a spiral in this country, because you will not have a Republican that will trust the FBI or the Department of Justice for generations to come. Now, there's a lot more to tell you, and I'm going to get in as much as I can. I'm neglecting other stories for this because I think it's so important. This is also, I want to read you a few other tweets of Mark Zaid, who must rue the day he ever made these tweets. So this is what he said in July of 2017. I think this is the repeat. It's the repeat of this other. Okay, there's another one. I vote we get rid of him. Anybody else with me? He also says, the coup has started. First of many steps. This is a little different. First of many steps at rebellion, at impeachment, will follow ultimately. And this was just after Donald Trump had fired acting Attorney General Sally Yates. Remember, she defied him, refused to enforce a legal order designed to protect U.S. citizens. And Mark Zaid jumps in and says, the coup has started, first of many steps, at rebellion, at impeachment, will follow ultimately. And this, again, is back in January of 2017. So we have, even in public record, evidence that this is a coordinated effort. We know now, because of these tweets, that Mark Zaid and Eric Shiramella are part of that effort. I want to go on. I'm going to make that point a little bit more clear in just a second. We also know Eric Shiramella now worked with the anti-Trump dossier hoaxer. Victoria Nuland was one of those, and there are others. That's an article from Breitbart this morning written by Aaron Klein. We'll put that on our Facebook page. Alleged Whistleblower Eric Chiramella worked closely with anti-Trump dossier hoaxer. We know that he brought an anti-Trump person who was working on this into the White House while he was assigned to the White House with President Trump in office. And then we know that he was cheering because of his email trail. We have email from him now, Eric Chiramella. Remember that threat that Joe Biden made to withhold aid if Ukraine did not fire the prosecutor who was investigating Burisma, the company that his son has made billions on, and millions, I should say, maybe close to a billion, but millions, and serves on the board? All right, so the whistleblower, Eric Chiramella, is on record as cheering that billion-dollar loan that went through as a result of them actually firing, as a result of the threat from Joe Biden, their prosecutor. And so we have it on a tape. I think, well, it's not tape. We have it in writing. I was trying to see what he actually said. They were cheering about this firing. And I can't find the exact words, but they were very happy about that. So they knew all about Joe Biden. Of course, the whistleblower worked with Joe Biden. We told you that. And then, of course, his claim in his complaint is that President Trump was trying to hurt Joe Biden, his political opponent. So, you know, that's why we need to know where people are coming from when they make accusations. Like if someone comes out, you know, do I need to explain? If someone comes out of the blue and accuses you of something that you never did, but it's a credible person or maybe anonymous, person A says that you slept with your neighbor's wife. Okay, so how are you going to combat that? Unless you find out, you know, that maybe it's your other neighbor who's mad at you about how you park in your driveway. Oh, that might put a different spin on it, right? Might make you understand it differently. That's why we need to know the name of the whistleblower. That's why the American people do. That's why who he is and his connections need to be exposed. And by the way, now we're learning that this Vindman, remember the Vindman that testified, the military guy in his uniform, and I criticize that because he's not a military man serving in uniform. Now he serves on the National Security Committee for the president, and they do not wear uniforms. And the military code of justice, really, he breached that when he testified against the commander-in-chief in a situation like that. But nobody's talking about that. Nevertheless, we know now that Vindman and Eric Chiramella still work together on policy in Ukraine. In fact, we have very good reason to believe that they know each other well. We actually may find out that Vindman is that second whistleblower that came out. Remember the second whistleblower that was never identified? And the attorney, Mark Zaid, told us we didn't need to know his identity. Remember the second whistleblower actually heard the phone call. But then Mark Zaid decided, and he told the American public, you don't need to know who that is. But he's actually heard the call, and he confirms what Chiramella said. So it's all very cozy. It's all very, very cozy. And then I want to close, if I can, with this segment with a little bit more information. This is complicated, but this is, again, by Sundance. But let me just say this. We are learning that the connections and the web, which John Brennan set in place through his operation out of CIA with the FBI, we think Strzok was the go-between between the CIA and the FBI for reasons I can't go into right now. We know that Strzok then was overseas helping coordinate various operatives from other intelligence agencies like the British MI6, the Australians, and on and on it goes. They were all working together. And now at this point I want to make, because do you remember when Julian Assange was arrested just suddenly after the Mueller report was over? Well, now we know that, you know, Julian Assange had said publicly that those email that he leaked from WikiLeaks were not from the Russians. He said that. He is key to all of this because the Mueller report and all of this nonsense that we've been hearing has been manufactured by John Brennan and his team and the FBI to the extent that they're involved in the other agencies. The whole thing that Russia was behind this and colluding with President Trump was manufactured by them. Julian Assange holds the keys to who actually gave him the email. He could unlock it, and that's why they went after him. The British and the Americans have a lot to lose if the truth comes out.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray. A moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Macon Delrahim, Assistant Attorney General at the Department of Justice. He oversees the agency that enforces our country's antitrust laws. Romans 13:10 reminds us of the importance of obeying the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for Macon Delrahim as he works to enforce the laws of the United States. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
Project Veritas has once again exposed the hypocrisy of the mainstream media, this time at ABC News. They published video of ABC News anchor Amy Robach complaining because network executives killed an explosive story about the late Jeffrey Epstein. Robach even suggested she had new info about Epstein's ties to former President Bill Clinton, information that would have been reported during Hillary Clinton's run for the White House. It's a bombshell report, and it also raises questions about whether ABC anchor George Stephanopoulos might have had a role in silencing the damaging story. Ultimately, ABC News says the original reporting failed to meet their editorial standards. Now, that's mighty interesting, seeing how just a few weeks ago, ABC News had to apologize after broadcasting fake footage of what they said was a firefight in Syria. Turned out to be fireworks in Kentucky. Be sure to check out today's Toddcast podcast. It's a free download at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. I'm going to talk about the elections yesterday and give a little bit of a recap. But also, I am going to open the phone lines. Let me just ask first if any of you were at the rally last night in Louisiana. I think some of you might have been. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Be great to hear from you, what you thought, what you heard, what you saw, and maybe a word about if you know something about how the election is going there. It is going to be November the 16th, which is a week from Saturday. So our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Now, I want to talk first about Kentucky. Matt Bevin has not conceded still. He is behind by less than 5,000 votes, as I understand it. And so we're going to see how that plays out. I do want to ask a question of those of you in Kentucky, we're going to try to cover a lot of things, so you know how this goes. I still am curious. I told you yesterday from what I could see about what Matt Bevin had said about teachers, and he was hard on them. He talked about, he criticized them for taking sick leave to go protest, and he said single moms can't do that. And when you leave the classroom and go out and picket using your sick days, single moms have no many of them in this state have no backup plan, and they have to work. They don't get paid if they don't go to work like you. And so he was really hard on them. So I read those things. I read a few other things, and it, you know, that made sense to me. I mean, he's a hardliner on teachers' unions, which I probably would be too. That's why I will never be, I will never serve in public office. It'll never happen. I don't aspire to that, by the way. But is there something I'm missing? Is Matt Bevin really that unlikable? Because I heard someone else say something yesterday about that, and I just wondered if I'm missing something. Was he just really direct about teachers and his criticism of the unions and how they operate, or was he nasty in other ways? I just don't know. I really am curious, and I have no way of knowing. So if you're from Kentucky and you have an opinion about that, some reason why you think he's really unpopular or something he said or did that was beyond the pale for you, I would just, it would just be interesting to know that. 888-589-8840. So that's another thing we can talk about. Now, in Kentucky, of course, there was a down ballot. All the other Republican statewide, all the other statewide positions that were up for election were won by Republicans, and one of them notably was Attorney Daniel Cameron. He's the first Republican elected to be Kentucky Attorney General in more than 70 years, and of course he's the first African American to win statewide office in Kentucky history. He gave a great speech. I wish we had time to play that, but he talked about how he's going to break with the practice of outgoing Democratic Attorney General Andy Beshear, who is the governor-elect at this point, who sometimes challenged Bevin and the legislature in court and refused to defend certain laws, notably abortion restrictions, when he believed they were unconstitutional. So that brings to mind this whole notion of the clash, the fight between Attorney General Andy Beshear and Governor Bevin, because if this is a this is a Lexington Herald Ledger reporting, so if the nut of that was that Beshear was stopping the governor from implementing things like abortion restrictions against the legislative branch, that's a big deal. You would think that would be enough to motivate Kentucky voters to keep Bevin in office. So what do they think they're going to get with Andy Beshear? I'm just wondering, and so maybe you can fill in those blanks. Let's move to Virginia, because there are several things I want to tell you about Virginia. One Virginia lawmaker who won yesterday is Democrat Joe Morrissey. He won the Senate seat for the 16th District. But interestingly enough, he was jailed for a teen sex scandal a number of years ago, 4 years ago. He ended up marrying his teenage aide, I think she was, and they have three children now. But at the time, she was a teenager and he was an older man, and he was placed in jail for what he did, but now he's been elected to office, and he was elected handily, by the way. Now, Eric Holder is very happy about what happened in Virginia. Of course, he's been traveling around the country working on legislatures redistricting for races, and that's what happened in Virginia. He calls it a victory for democracy and fairness. Of course, it's not fairness to Eric Holder when the gerrymandering or the districting lines don't help Democrats, but he was very happy about that. And I want to before I go to the phone lines, Virginia Family Foundation, Victoria Cobb, who was our guest yesterday, had some observations on the Virginia races. The Democrats, of course, swept both houses. By means swept, though, they did not win. Look, it was a huge defeat for Republicans, no question about it, because they lost control of both houses, but they didn't lose by that much. It's like a couple of seats here and there. And so that's the interesting part of this. Someone else has observed, Paul Mierenkopf, actually in Powerline, has said when Virginia voters actually see how far left the Democrats plan to take this state, there may be a backlash yet, because I think it probably still hasn't gotten down into the DNA of Virginia voters how radical the people that have been elected are. And they're going to find out. Ralph Northam was bragging last night about how great it was to turn Virginia blue and how they're going to now reform the schools, make sure children are taught real history. Now, what do you think that means? That may not be a hot button for a lot of people, but it's a hot button for many people. And when they start, you know, interfering with homeschooling, and when they start making sure that every school has gender-neutral bathrooms and teaching little children about graphic sex, there might be some backlash. We'll see. Even from immigrants, they may not be ready for their children to know all about, you know, transgenderism and all kinds of sex, which I won't enumerate. So we'll see if there might be a backlash, even for Virginia, in time. Victoria notices and marks the fact that many, many groups work together really faithfully, and it's true. AFA was part of that to try to stop this. But this year, outside political groups and Hollywood dumped over $9 million in Democratic campaigns around Virginia. That was a 600% increase from just 2 years ago. And how much did the Republicans get from out-of-state help? It was $1.5 million. So you can see that it was, and not only did the money go to pay for ads and all of that, there it was to pay people to go from door to door and do all the work that they did, very organized. So you can see. And also, Victoria, one other thing, she notes that the Republicans that were defeated were, and I'm not sure this is 100% true, but she said many, if not most of them, were squishy on they backed away from strong positions on the moral issues, whereas those that prevailed had been real champions. And she just noted that there's something to be learned from that, and I think she's right. Okay, so I want to go to the phones because I know you have lots of things to say, and I want to hear. Let's go to. Okay, I was looking for a Louisiana person that went to, but I don't see that. Okay, so Barry in Georgia, you're up first. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you for taking my call, Sandy.
My pleasure. Sandy, what's on your mind?
You mentioned Christopher Wray a while ago should be fired, I believe. Should have already been gone.
Yep.
And the strange thing about, and I don't think President Trump is making wise choices or he's getting some bad advice. Christopher Wray came out of King Spalding in Atlanta. Sally Yates is a partner there. And Christopher Wray has hired his chief of staff, Paul Murphy, who is also a partner at King Spalding.
Oh, that Atlanta. Is really interesting. That is very interesting. I didn't know
you
that.
You probably knew all this.
No, I don't. Well, in spite of what I may want you to think, I don't know everything. I did not know that. Yeah. I'm sure there are people in D.C. who do know it, but I don't.
I'm amazed that he took someone that has worked probably so closely with Sally Yates.
Well, you know
where
what?
Did he get the advice to do that?
Well, Barry, this has been a problem, and you have heard me talk about this. This has been a problem since day one, and I'll repeat this. There was a huge effort during the transition, meaning after President Trump was elected and before he was inaugurated, there's quite a bit of time there, to vet and put in place really strong President Trump supporters who supported his positions on issues to get them in the White House. But what happened was President Trump was advised to choose, now I'm blanking out, the RNC chair from Wisconsin, Reince Priebus, and make him chief of staff. So when he did that, well, let me just say this. Reince started hiring people who were Republicans, many of them never Trumpers, many of them working against him. And so all those resumes that were works by Heritage Foundation and other lots of people that I know, people who are wonderfully qualified, willing to help, thrown in the trash, not hired. And I would have to say also then through the last few years that President Trump has been in office, many of us have tried to warn him about people inside, and we just, nothing happens. I've seen, the Eric Chiaramella, by the way, was one of them. We don't really know, I'm just being really honest here, who inside the White House is blocking this stuff and why some of the warnings are not heeded, because they're not heeded, is what I'm trying to say. Something's not right. I will say this publicly, that Jared Kushner is not a Republican. He never has been, and he is the president's son-in-law, and that's part of the problem. Because remember that Van Jones, the communist, was in the White House so many times during that lead up to criminal justice reform. Van, I think that probably it's likely that Jared is not seasoned. He's very, very smart. He's a really nice guy, I have to tell you that. But he doesn't really, he's not an ideologue. He's not a conservative. His wife is not a conservative. They spent the first several months, you know, they made it public that they were trying to dissuade her dad from his positions on issues like abortion. So you've got this conflict within in every way.
Sandy, and, let me say one other thing real quick.
Yeah.
We have Senator Isaacson retiring. Georgians need to contact Governor Kemp not to put Chris Carr or Joan Carr. Senator Isaacson has always been pretty much a never-Trumper. He supported John McCain, and we need someone that will stand up for our president to replace Senator Isaacson.
Well, Barry, so are those the two names you just gave, are they the only ones that are being discussed?
Well, no, I think there's others, but Chris Carr was Senator Isaacson's former chief of staff, and now his wife is Senator Isaacson's chief of staff. Chris
okay.
Carr is currently the attorney general in Georgia.
Okay. And the other name was who?
Joan Carr.
Oh, okay. Oh, so he's thinking about
his wife.
He's thinking about either him, Chris, or his wife?
I think they're at the top of the list, I believe.
Oh, how interesting. Well, Barry, you've given me some great information, and also you've given the listeners great information, so thank you for listening, and we'll continue to watch that. Okay, thanks a lot. Let's go to Nelson in Texas. Good morning, Nelson.
Good morning. Good morning, Sandy. Good morning. It's been a while, but I'm a great fan, follower of AFR. Bless everybody that works at AFR.
Thank you.
I am in Texas, and I remember a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sorry that I cannot be so specific, but there was a vote or there was a decision that needed to be made, and one of the senators from Texas, a Republican senator, voted against the measure, and it should have been supported by him. And I cannot remember the name because Texas is soon to go into elections, and I'm going to make sure I vote against this guy because he may be called Republican, but you don't act that way against our values.
You're talking about your U.S. senator?
Yes.
Well, could it have been the Cornyn opposition to Ken Cuccinelli for Department of Homeland Security Secretary? He didn't. There wasn't a vote, but he publicly opposed that, and I certainly mentioned that on the air. Maybe so. Nelson, I don't know. I can't help you with that.
I think that's the name Cornyn, right?
Yes, John Cornyn. He's one of your two. Senator Cornyn is, to my recollection, when he was first elected, was a really stalwart conservative, and somehow he's done the same thing as many of them. He's become part of the inner circle, and over the years, he's gotten worse.
Well, this is one vote he's not going to count on.
Yeah. Okay, Nelson. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Nelson. Thanks. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Terry in West Virginia. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. How are you?
Really good. What's on your mind?
Okay. Well, Princeton, West Virginia is on the state line of West Virginia and Virginia.
Yeah.
And we're southwestern Virginia, which is very conservative, like West Virginia. Well, the paper came out this morning stating, and there, this is where the consequences of elections come out. They're very happy about to turn the Old Dominion into a state where gun laws are stricter, the environment is cleaner, and cities have greater leeway to take down Confederate statues. Virginia is blue. I want everyone to know that. And they're not inclined to pursue any policies that might hurt the state's business-friendly reputation. And their big win was a warning sign for the president and Republicans ahead of next year's election.
Hey, Terry. Terry, I'm going to interrupt you. Hold on just 1 second because I have to take a break. But we'll come back and let you finish your thought, okay? Terry's from West Virginia, and we appreciate your call. She was just reading something from her paper, but I'm sure she has a comment about it. So we'll come back. And also with your phone calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
What would it take for you to compromise your principles? My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Recently, I heard a statement that went like this. I don't think principles matter if you can't get elected. Principles form the core of who you are. Principles form the foundation of a civil society. George Washington, in his farewell address, identified religion and morality as indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, George Washington said. It makes me think of a scripture. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his soul? What would it profit a candidate to gain an election but lose his principles?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Pastor Jim Scudder, Jr. for In Grace Radio. We're excited to announce that we're now on American Family Radio every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central Time. You'll want to join us for In Grace because we're going to open up the Word of God, preach it, and teach it, and we're going to bring you some pretty interesting programming from the Grand Canyon to under the water in Key Largo, even the Ark in Northern Kentucky. Join us this Sunday at 8:30.
Has God placed a calling on your life? And if so, how does He prepare us for it? Are we really willing to put our own habits and dreams aside to follow Him? Ravi Zacharias examines the life of Ezekiel and the important lessons we can learn from it. That's this week on Let My People Think.
Sundays at 7 p.m. Central.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Like Jesus Christ, Donald Trump is being victimized by a patently unjust trial designed to remove him from public life forever. He is loved by ordinary people, just as Jesus was, but power-hungry politicians are seeking to destroy him, just as they tried to destroy Christ. The enemies of Christ took him down with a sham of a trial that was held behind closed doors with cherry-picked witnesses. That's what they're trying to do to the president. Christ had people in his own inner circle betray him, as Trump has. The Sadducees twisted the rules with the help of bent lawyers, and Democrats are doing the same to the president. Am I saying Donald Trump is a Christ figure? Hardly. He is as fallen as any man among us. But God vindicated his son despite the absolute worst that man could do. Perhaps he will do the same for our president.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last night, I saw a newly released movie that is at once searingly traumatizing and powerfully uplifting. I commend to everyone Harriet, the story of the hardships and successes of a slave in Maryland who became an iconic and courageous liberator known as Moses for her often miraculous success in helping 70 others enslaved in southern states reach freedom in the North and Canada. Indeed, a deeply moving subtext of the film is its portrayal of Harriet Tubman's unshakable faith in God, whose grace repeatedly informed and often transformed her missions of mercy. At a time when decades of steady improvement in race relations in America have been seriously set back by politicians, provocateurs, and media outlets, this film serves as a reminder of how far we have come and of the imperative need to enlist divine providence to rise above our present adversities. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Ambassador Volker, hold on. We have Mark Meadows right here. Congressman Meadows, can we talk live?
So he's walking by right now. But Republicans are really struggling to defend the president. Okay, great.
Not struggling on anything.
Okay, so Congressman.
So the Republicans are not struggling on anything.
So Congressman, there's one.
All right. You had to hear that. That was Congressman Mark Meadows, and the shot is Leanne Caldwell from MSNBC making the comment as he's walking by that the Republicans are struggling. And you could see Mark with an entourage of people hurrying through the corridor, and he hears her say that, and he comes back. Let's listen to it again because it's fun. Let's listen. Clip 5.
Ambassador Volker, hold on. We have Mark Meadows right here. Congressman Meadows, can we talk live? So he's walking by right now. But Republicans are really struggling to defend the president. Okay, great.
Not struggling on anything.
Okay, so Congressman.
So the Republicans are not struggling on anything.
So Congressman, there's one.
And then he goes on to give her a more lengthy reason why they're not struggling and how it's actually getting easier to defend the president because the testimony's coming out and we're finding out that there's just no there. So anyway, that's how that went down. All right. We are going to go back to the phone lines. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. We're talking about a number of things, as we always do. Some are commenting on the elections yesterday, others on some of the things we talked about earlier in the show today about the whistleblower's attorney talking about there was going to be a coup, that the president was going to be impeached. He said that January 30th of 2017, right after the president was inaugurated. This Zaid, the attorney for Eric Chiramella, who is the whistleblower. It's stunning. It's a stunning piece of news. I don't know if you're going to hear it today. You'll hear it on Fox, but you probably won't hear it on the other networks, which reminds me of something else. This is worth taking time to find. John Hinderaker of Powerline made this comment. We did not get to the story about the ABC News suppression of the Jeffrey Epstein story. I'm sure you've heard it other places, but in the context of that suppression and lack of reporting about this man who a pedophile seems like an innocent description of him compared to what he was involved in, and the number of important people like Bill Clinton who were involved with him, it's stunning, and it makes you shudder because it's just so wretched, such a horrible story. ABC had it, according to one of their anchors, the whole story 3 years ago, Amy Robach, but they just didn't report it. And so that reminds me of this quote from Jim Treacher. Modern journalism is all about deciding which facts the public shouldn't know because they might reflect badly on Democrats. And so you have to know that that's part of the way they control how people think, is that they don't necessarily out-and-out lie about something. They just don't report it. And so I doubt you're going to be hearing from them about Mark Zaid and his tweets in 2017 talking about this plot, this plan to overthrow the president. We're going to take him down. There's going to be an impeachment. That's what he says in his tweets. So and now he's representing the whistleblower, and we believe that the whistleblower is all part of that grand plan that was laid out a long time ago, and not the least of which, I don't know if John Brennan thought of all these details. I'm sure he had lots of help, and so did the insiders at the FBI. It's a disgraceful story, and maybe the investigator Huber will get to the bottom of this. We hear that he is actively digging down deep. Some foreign intelligence sources are telling us that they are surprised by how the questions and what they are actually looking to uncover. And not because they are trying to help Huber. The ones I've heard quoted are they were cooperating. The British were cooperating. And so they don't want this exposed. And that's probably why they had Julian Assange arrested, remember, in that Peruvian embassy, just suddenly after the Mueller report was released. Suddenly in the middle of the night, Julian Assange is dragged away. Remember that? Because Julian Assange was the one that was in the center of the leaking story way, way back about Hillary Clinton and the DNC's email. And he said quite plainly, it wasn't Russia. It wasn't Russia. And so as soon as the Mueller report is over, Julian Assange is mysteriously grabbed by the British and put in solitary confinement so that he can't say anything. So it's just all pretty, it's amazing. You could not write a novel any more intriguing or any less believable if you tried. All right, back to the phones. Let me finish with Terry because, Terry, you said your newspaper was boasting about it becoming Virginia becoming a blue state, and then I interrupted you. So you want to finish your thoughts?
Sure. They said he supported seeing passage of the Equal Rights Amendment, and he would be 38th state
that would meet the constitutional threshold for approval. So Virginia's in trouble, big time. The people on this end of the state that borders West Virginia also state very often that their vote gets canceled out by the eastern part of Virginia and the mm-hmm. D.C. and the suburban areas. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they probably wish that they could succeed to West Virginia. It's, yeah. They will be very upset about this in this area.
Well, Terry, I think the best hope is the one I expressed by Paul Meringoff of Powerline earlier, that the Democrats will overplay their hand in Virginia, and it will become so radical so fast that people may not be quite ready and maybe be more motivated. My understanding is that the rural areas of Virginia did not show up like the Northern Virginia folk. And so maybe this will be a wake-up call. Maybe something can be done. Maybe all is not lost. Maybe for this cycle it is. But perhaps, you know, there'll be a pendulum swinging back the other way, especially when immigrants who are now, you know, occupying 30% in some counties, and I think more than that, actually, to be honest with you, based on what I have seen in Virginia, they may not be in favor of this radical stuff either. So there must be a way to get to them and explain to them what the people they're electing are doing to their children. So anyway, Terry, thanks a lot. We appreciate your call. Let's go to Lori, also from Virginia. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
So what's on your mind this morning?
I'm very disappointed with the election results in Virginia. And I just wanted to call in because my heart is so heavy, because I feel that as a conservative African-American who has been, who's a registered Democrat but has been voting Republican for the last couple elections, I feel there's such a disconnect with the Republican Party and how to reach the African-American community. As the Democrats, they use race to divide. We all know that.
Yeah.
But they're also very intentional in how they present messaging. Mm-hmm. I feel that within the Republican and then the conservative movement, we are not winning the argument because we are not using the right people to present the message. Everything that I hear on conservative talk radio is true. However, so many in the African-American community just can't hear it because they're not sure about the messenger. Mm. We've got to get more supportive of African-American conservative Christians who have to be courageous. We have to be, because our families, many of our friends, some of them will, you know, even outcast us if we let them know and we're strident about how we feel about these issues. So we need to be able to gather together and create a mass of African-American conservatives who are willing to step forward, and we need the support of our white brothers and sisters who are willing to get behind us and let us lead the charge as we talk to our communities.
Lori,
if we're going to have any impact, that's necessary.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you at all. I would say that this whole, when I was back in Chicago, this is a theme that I pounded many times, because I had so many black friends that were conservatives, and it was in many ways worse then. I think there are more black conservatives now than there were then. That was in the 90s. And so the whole notion, Republicans they just were so disconnected from the black community. That's the truth. And the Democrats, then, on the other hand, as you described, were using the black community. Not that they cared about them, but they were useful. And so I don't think that has ever been bridged either. I agree with you, although I think it's been bridged better. I think of Candace Owens. I think of my good friend, and I'm sure you've heard E.W. Jackson on this. He follows. He's on at noon now here. Yeah, I do too. And so AFA, of course, we're certainly trying to do that. But I agree with you, and I think the Republican Party, especially in Virginia, has been really bad. If you think, you know, I describe what goes on in Washington with Mitch McConnell. I complain about him all the time in the RNC. pretty disgusting to me, actually. They fight against conservatives. That's what Virginia Republican leadership is like. And that's why in this particular election, conservatives band together apart from Republican coordination at all. And I think you are going to see, the pendulum swing. And I actually will pass along your suggestion to this group also to take your advice on looping in more black leaders in this movement. I think there were some that the names are escaping me in this moment, but that's very good advice, Lori. I think you're right, and God bless and protect you as you take a really strong stand in your family. I think, you know, a lot of white conservatives are experiencing the same thing. You know that. Trump supporters, it's dividing families, and they're experiencing that same kind of hatred. But you've gone before us, forging that with your families, and now many of us are experiencing that with our own. It has nothing to do with color, you know, the issues, as you well know, but it has to do with just a leftward move and a godlessness, really, that's kind of settled on so strongly. Lori, I have to move on, but thank you so much. Let's go to Destiny in Kentucky. Good morning, Destiny.
Good morning.
Quickly, if you can. Destiny?
I'm sorry?
Quickly, if you can. Yeah. Yeah, well, you're going to talk about Bevin. I want to hear what you have to say. Matt Bevin.
Oh, okay. Yes. So I live in Kentucky, and I'm 29, so I'm a younger conservative. And I think, like, the main issue, the reason why he's having a recount, which I'm glad he is having a recount, I think it's highly suspicious that every other seat that was up for grabs in Kentucky was, you know, won by a conservative, yet his seat wasn't. But at the same time, I think a lot of people look at one issue, like, okay, so there was a thing last year with him and, like, teachers' pensions and stuff like that, and a lot of people looked at that, and it kind of gave him some bad reviews. And I think with people just looking at, like, one issue instead of the whole picture, they either went the completely other way and voted for somebody else and voted the wrong person in, or they just didn't go vote at all. And I think people really need to take that into consideration. Don't just look at a person by one thing that they do. They need to look at their voting records. They need to look at, like, where they stand on all different things, not just one thing that they did while they were in office. And, I mean, he's very conservative. He's, you know, tried to regulate abortion more in the state of Kentucky. He's brought the Bible back into school, stuff like that. And I wish other conservatives would really look at bigger issues and look at the good things that he has done. Because now if, you know, Beshear gets in, that's not good. I mean, he's for gambling and all kinds of stuff. And I just don't want Kentucky to end up like California and some of these other states. And if conservatives don't get out and vote and vote for the right person, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, Destiny, well said. Honestly, really well said. I would say this. Thank you, Destiny. I would say this, that the problem with conservative Christian voters, as I have experienced through the years, is there will be some report about somebody saying something or doing something icky, and there's like this ick factor, and they go, oh, I don't know if I, oh, I heard, oh, I don't know. And Destiny's right. The big picture is lost. We are easily prone to listening to, as though some person could be perfect, and not remembering that there is slander afoot in elections and that people are very cunning about using stories like that. Or, you know, it's like President Trump. I don't like the way he tweets. I don't like the way he calls people's names. Not looking at the bigger picture, which is if the left should prevail over Donald Trump, we will lose our country. We will lose our Constitution. Our economy will tank. Our children will be further polluted and abused in public schools. And by abused, I'm not talking about physical abuse, although, gee, maybe that's coming too. I'm talking about their innocence abused, taken away from them, their happiness really stolen from them, their future stolen from them. But Donald Trump says bad things about people, so, gee, we can't lower ourselves or dirty ourselves to vote for someone like that. And I actually wonder if that's not happened to Matt Bevin. Sounds like Destiny is kind of affirming that. So he's not given up yet. That's the race in Kentucky. And I wish I could have gotten all of your calls. I'm sorry. I love hearing from you. Our phone number, oh, not phone, you know, write me at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net, or go on our Facebook page and interact, because there's lots of opposition coming in and there's some great discussions going on. So thank you so much for listening. Sandy Rios in the Morning, AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.